All right, let's go to Acts chapter 28, Acts chapter, excuse me, 23, Acts chapter 23. Last Lord's Day, we took up to the verse 3. Those that are listening to us, give us a call if you wish and tell us how you are. Say hello to us at 856-261-9018. 856-261-9018, or give us an email, questions@bftbc.org. All right, we took up 1, 2, and 3 last Thursday night, but let's read 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then we'll discuss it from 4 on down. All right, start with verse number 1 of Acts 23. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded them and stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" And they that stood by him said, "Revilest thou God's high priest?" Then said Paul, "I wish not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." All right, Paul in verse number 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Yeah, we forgot to mention there's two people moving this, or somebody's moving this week, or within the next week or so, and then some next month. When Mrs. Weber's moving next month, I think, into her new place, and Eddie's moving this week or next week into his new place.
Good. Well, so, remember those in prayer.
When you think about
them. Gary said that his mother, was having an ultrasound. That was what the procedure was. He also said it's not coming for heart. Yeah, for
which one was Gary
having? Mrs. Baumgratz. Pardon me?
His mother-in-law.
His mother-in-law, yes.
What's Gary having?
And he didn't say anything. He said that the sound is stopping and starting. That's so Pastor Dan, maybe you're checking it.
Switch to Sermon Audio? Or?
I asked him to switch to SermonAudio.com.
Which one was he at?
I don't know. He was on our streaming. And streaming was not coming
stopping
through.
Stopping and starting? Okay.
Stopping and starting. So
is
maybe.
Anyone, is anyone listening right now have a problem?
All right. Anybody listening now that has a problem with the same thing, the sound is coming in, is the picture coming in, please let us know at 856-261-9018. Or questions@bftbc.org. Tell us how it's coming. So Paul was in the council. What council was this in verse number 1?
Sanhedrin.
The Sanhedrin, that's right. And Ananias had some things to do. What did they do to Paul? What did he command? What did the Sanhedrin head man command in verse 2?
Smite him.
That's right, smite him. So hit him, slap him. And slap him, smite him, hit him.
And
23 verse 2. Then verse 3, what did Paul reply about that?
He says, "God shall smite thee."
God shall smite thee. Why did he say that? What was the wrong that Ananias had done here to Paul?
He didn't have any right to hit him.
He's a leader of the law. The law of Moses doesn't say smite a man before you even hear him, even try, see, but he just hit him, it's against the law. And so then Paul, when he said that God will smite thee, and then verse 4, what did they that stood by say to Paul? In verse 4.
Oh, no wonder I missed it. I wasn't here last week.
Oh, that's right. You're not here. Okay.
I'm so lost.
Yes. Pardon me?
Chapter 23.
Chapter, sorry, I didn't mean to
we're
say
chapter 23.
All right. So what did Paul say, or what did they say to Paul in verse 4 when he said that?
Do you revile God's high priest?
God's high priest. And but did, in verse 5, did Paul know who he is, a high priest?
No.
And he quoted the scripture. What does that scripture mean?
What does it mean?
Yes.
This may have been tongue in cheek.
That could be. But what is it saying?
Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people.
Ruler of thy people. Now, was he a secular ruler or a religious ruler?
Religious.
He was a religious ruler, wasn't he? He was the high priest and the Mosaic.
The real ruler is Lord Jesus Christ.
The real ruler, that's true. And of course, the secular ruler would be Caesar, wouldn't it be?
We're talking about
verse 5.
Yeah,
ruler of thy people.
Who's speaking? Who's doing this? Who's doing the evil speaking?
Well, Paul is simply quoting the scripture.
That's not really the commandment in the Pharisaical law or something.
Pardon me?
It's a commandment in the Pharisaical law or something.
Well,
I think isn't the high priest speaking evil of the Caesar and the government, the Roman government?
Well, in verse 4, they that stood by said, thou shalt not revile other God's high priest. And Paul in verse 5 is a speaker. And he didn't know he was a high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. I don't know where it's written, but it's written somewhere.
Was speaking tongue in cheek.
It could be.
Is it a biblical or is it a religious law of the Jews in their additional laws?
I think Exodus 22:28 is a reference that I have in my Bible. See what that says. Exodus 22, verse 28.
But is Paul saying this? I think he knows he's the high priest, but he says, I didn't know you're the high priest because you're speaking, you would be in the high priest, you're speaking evil of the people, evil of your ruler, your people. Is that what he's saying?
Okay,
I don't think so. No, I don't think that's at all. What is it saying?
Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people.
See, so that's the religious ruler. It's not a secular ruler, it's a religious ruler. Let's say, Pastor,
that. Paul said, I wist not, brethren, he was the high priest.
Mm-hmm.
For it's written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Who's doing this evil speaking?
Paul was doing the evil speaking according to these people, because he said, God's going to smite you. God's going to smite you, you whited wall. See, Paul was being against the ruler.
He was reacting
to what Ananias did. That's right.
And the high priest didn't have any right.
That's right.
He didn't know that.
That's right. So, but you understand, Pastor Dan, Paul was the one that said that. He's quoting
Paul's
the scripture.
Doing evil speaking, or is the
No. It's the high priest that's doing evil speaking.
No.
Well, Paul's doing evil speaking. Yes, but the high priest was.
They're saying that Paul was speaking evil
of the ruler of the high priest. That's correct.
Why did the high priest have his high priest robe on?
Well, I don't know that, but
why did they keep changing to the high priest?
I didn't know they did have a high priest robe.
Now, what was true of the high priest in the Old Testament? How long did he remain a high priest?
Till he died.
And what's the situation here in the New Testament?
Well, we have Annas and Caiaphas.
They just keep changing and changing and changing. It's completely different. Yes, Pastor Dan.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nothing, sorry. Well, pass by.
No.
All right.
No, you didn't.
So, in other words, now, notice the ruler of that people, in other words, the Jewish ruler of the people, it's a religious ruler of the Jews, and
I just don't understand why Paul is blowing the whistle on himself.
Well, he's just
He said he didn't know.
Yes. He probably knew, but he said it because it was like tongue-in-cheek.
Well,
I didn't know you were the high priest.
Well, it's possible, but I think he actually didn't know, see?
And well, I think the reason why he's saying, I believe the high priest was the one who was speaking evil. He was the giver of the anti-Roman, anti-this, anti, it doesn't say that any place, but...
Well, I think Paul excused himself now that he knew it was the high priest. He shouldn't have spoken evil of the ruler of his people. Paul is right there in verse 5, speaking of himself. Yes, Anna.
Well, I mean, with how many times the high priest changed, it would seem reasonable for Paul not to know
exactly.
Which guy thought he was in charge.
Exactly. Tammy.
It seems as though this isn't all that many years since Christ, mm-hmm. and when Christ was the John trial, mm-hmm. there was Ananias and there was Caiaphas.
Yes.
And it seems like they keep switching back and forth between father and son.
Yes.
It's kind of peculiar.
Peculiar? Wasn't a long, for life, it wasn't a lively thing like it was in the Old Testament.
It's such a hard job, they keep quitting.
So the Jews completely altered the Old Testament practice. They completely altered it. In verse number 5, let's read 6, 7, and 8. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other part were Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called to question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension among the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. All right, verse 6. What did Paul understand when he saw other people out there? What did he perceive?
Half and half.
Half and half what?
Half Sadducees, half
Okay. What do you think gave him the inclination of that? How do you think he guessed that? Was he right in his guess?
Maybe they dressed differently.
Maybe they recognized some of these people.
Could they recognize them? But they could have certain dress. What is it?
What verse are we on?
It's verse number 6. It could be they have a certain indications. Of, you know, there's certain ones, refractories and scriptures and different things. You can see what they, maybe they're how they dressed that timing.
Could you tell me where this is exactly? I mean, are they... I guess I'm kind of losing...
Well, they're in Jerusalem and at the council.
So Paul has not been sent to...
Rome yet, not yet.
Or he was sent to another city, but he hasn't gone there yet either.
Is this when he went up in that tall building, looked out the window, and then...
No. He stayed in the castle overnight or something.
So this is right after his speech to the group of people?
Yeah, I think so.
Tomorrow, because what he happened? Would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he, as the captain, loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them.
Okay, so he was...
Paul,
the captain brought the different two parties together then.
Yes, he was at Jerusalem at this time.
Mm-hmm. You could probably tell who were the Sadducees because they didn't smile. They were sad, you see.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely sad. So they thought that they were divided. They perceived. One was Sadducees, the other Pharisees. And so what did Paul do now that he saw there was a division between these two groups in verse number 6?
Took advantage of it.
Took advantage of it and...
He tried to divide them.
Okay, what did he say? You got something, Pastor Dan? Oh, go ahead.
He said he was a Pharisee.
Okay, go ahead, Pastor Dan.
Let Tammy finish her thought.
And that it was for the hope of the resurrection that he was called into question. Uh-huh. So in other words, he was trying to, you know, side himself with the Pharisees and divide the Sadducees against him.
Pastor Dan?
All the church, this is from Jim Canada. All the church, the sound and video are working good on the main homepage, bft.org. Jim Canada.
Good, thank you. That's way to Jim Canada in Massachusetts, way up in Massachusetts. Thank you, Jim. So it's working well. Maybe it's just a question of Gary's set, maybe the set that he has. Who else was a Pharisee in addition to Paul in verse number 6? Who else was a Pharisee?
His father.
His father was a Pharisee. What tribe was Paul from?
Benjamin.
Tribe of Benjamin. And so he has Pharisaical roots, father and then son, citizen. Now he brought up that. Now, what was the reason why he was called in question in verse number 6? The hope and resurrection of the dead. Did Paul believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Absolutely.
Yes. Did he believe the bodily resurrection of those who are Christian believers and saved people?
Absolutely.
And they did. So he believed in resurrection. And that's why it's called in question. Then in verse number 7, what happened after he said that he was standing for the resurrection?
The group was divided.
Dissension. What is dissension?
Argument.
Is that the same as discussion?
No.
No, it isn't. It's argument. It's fighting. It's warring. It's battling. Between what two groups?
The Pharisees and the Sadducees.
And what about the ones that were listening? Those people who were neither Pharisees or Sadducees.
Sides. The multitude was divided.
Multitude was divided. They didn't know which side to take. Here they were religious readers. Religious leaders were Sadducees, religious leaders, Pharisees. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Yeah, fine.
How do they become a Pharisee? car seat? Does it run in the family, like he and his father? Or is there something you join or you study to be?
I'm not sure. I think you have to study to be one. I don't think it's just automatic. I don't think it's automatic. I think they have to...
Is it a club or...?
Well, it's a sect of the Jews. And if you want to join that sect...
Does that mean a sect of the Jews?
That means a group of them.
So are there genealogies in a certain...
Well, it could be genealogy, but I don't think just the ones from Benjamin could be Pharisees. Anybody could be Pharisee, but I think they just had to, maybe they had to go to school, how to be a good Pharisee, what to believe, and different things. Who was Paul taught from?
Gamaliel.
And he was a doctor of the Jews, and he was well taught. So maybe he taught them to be a Pharisee, see, because Gamaliel was probably a teacher of the law, was a Pharisee probably himself. So I don't think he got it from his dad necessarily. He could have, but maybe about influence.
Family or what?
I think he had to be qualified to be a real Pharisee. So the multitude was divided. And is there division in groups today?
Oh, sure is.
There sure is a lot of division. Mm-hmm. What divides people today in churches, for example?
Everything. Hope of the resurrection.
Hope of the resurrection sometimes?
Resurrection. They don't believe in the resurrection.
The modernist liberal apostates don't believe in the resurrection. That's right. What else divides Christian people or non-Christian, just churches?
What people want to do.
What people want to do.
If they want to drink or if they
How they behave and drinking, that divides people. Yeah, Bill.
Yeah, sometimes it's just nationalistic. I asked a person one time why he got into a Lutheran church, and he said, well, that's because I'm German.
Yeah.
What reason is that?
Lots of things divide. Bible versions divide, do they not? And music divides and various other things. Sometimes dress divides. Yes, Dave.
The Pharisees had a strict adherence to the law of God in the first five books of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. That's
Genesis,
right.
Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
Yes.
And they were very, very strict. And the tradition of the nation of Israel,
mm-hmm.
the Pharisees were very, very strict upon.
Yes.
Where the Sadducees, they were more like the rulers that compromised with the state,
mm-hmm.
and they were more the politicians,
mm-hmm.
of the, and they were compromisers.
Mm-hmm.
They went and compromised. With those that were in high authority in the government. But
mm-hmm.
the Pharisees, they kept to themselves. They tried to keep the tradition of the law,
mm-hmm.
and of Israel, and tried to make Israel according to what God had said in the law.
Mm-hmm. Did Paul ever say something kind about the Pharisees? His own...
He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees.
Pharisee of the Pharisees. And when he came to Christ, what did he do with that Pharisaical background?
He left it behind.
He left what things were gained for me, I kind of lost for Christ. So, but here he was a Pharisee, the Pharisee. Now, what does the Greek word or Hebrew word Pharisee mean? Phares.
Don't know.
Separatist. He's a separatist. In a sense, now they're not separatists like we are, but they're separated in many ways. And just like when the earth was divided, you remember the book of Genesis, in those days the earth was divided. Peris, it was called Peris or something like that, see, because Peris and Pharis, it means to divide. Well, that earth was divided and therefore the continents were divided. I don't know exactly what could be, or the South America, North America, the oceans, who knows?
Pele.
Pardon me?
Pele.
That was Pele, yes.
Pele.
Yeah, Pele, that's it.
Pele and
that was divided, the Pele, that's right. These are things that the battle was there, the multitude was divided, and we have divisions today. Now, is division always bad?
No.
Sometimes is division good? What does the scripture say about there needs must be heresies that they which are the truth could be
approved?
What does that mean? Heresy in what sense? What does heresy come from in Greek? Hierao.
False.
Well, it means to hold something. See, you hold something.
To holding. So holding,
now,
something
It's holding something. Now, things that hold what's right, that's fine. We have to hold, but so must be things that are proper holdings, and there's improper holdings. And so it makes the people that are unbelievers, if they want to leave, let them leave. Of course, in most churches, what happens when churches have modernists and apostates and Bible believers? Who usually leaves?
The Bible believers.
Mm-hmm. Who should have left? Should be the radical ones. Mm-hmm. See, quite often they just stay and take over the whole church, and the whole church goes to pot. It's a terrible thing. The whole denomination. Yes, Anna.
Well, do you suppose this comes from the Bible believers tolerating a few, and then a few, they grow, like the 11?
Yes. What does that verse say? A little?
11.
11, hold on. That's exactly right. Yeah. It's a good comment. It's just mushrooms. It's just mushrooms. And the people that are unbelievers get other friends that are unbelievers that come to the church and get a pastor then that's unbeliever. So they start just feeding junk food from the pulpit and everybody's happy except the Bible believing Christians, and they leave usually, or should leave. What does it mean, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord? What does that mean?
Nothing to do with
these unbelievers.
It doesn't necessarily mean the church, but could be.
Well, if they're unbelievers, see, God wants us separated.
It certainly did when the Northern Baptist Convention was going apostate.
Yes.
Right. You know, they had to leave.
Yes. Separation has two phases. What are the two phases of separation?
Personal.
Well, that's right. Personal and ecclesiastical. But what else?
Primary
and secondary. That's right. Theological. But there's two directions, I should say, of separation.
North and south.
North and south. What are the directions?
To God from sin.
To God from sin. Remember in 1 Thessalonians, they turned to God from idols. Was that it, 1 Thessalonians? They turned to God from idols.
Unless it was 2 Thessalonians.
It was 2 Thessalonians?
It was either 1
Thessalonians. What are you, 1st or 2nd? Now, why is it important? Why is it important to turn to God first before turning from idols?
Because he's the one that's going to help you.
He knows what to turn from. Turn him first, then he'll lead you to turn. Wait, yes, Dave, go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say. how quickly modernism and getting away from what God has said in his word, it just grows so quickly in the theological schools.
Yes.
And the seminaries,
right?
How in the beginning they were all really close to the Bible. They were teaching men to do the ministry and to win souls and everything. And Harvard and all those schools. And they just went away. They got people in that had, doctor's degrees, but that they were putting the thinking ahead of doctrine, and so it just grew and grew and grew, and we can see in our country what's happening in our country.
Yes, similar.
It's growing and growing so fast.
Yes,
and it's just taken our country away.
It is. Yes, Tammy.
It is 1 Thessalonians 1:9.
1:9.
Shall I read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God.
Yes, Pastor Dan taught a whole course on history of fundamentalism. Want to just give a summation of different schools of why they left and so on, who they were and how long they were good and how long they took to go bad and so on?
They didn't take long. I mean, sometimes they started bad, sometimes they started good, and they slipped into apostasy. They fell away from the truth.
Princeton University is one.
They held out for a long time, but then... Mm-hmm. Finally, they had a division in how the school was managed, and they lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they brought the churches involved in having decision in how the school was run, and eventually that was what overtook them, because of the apostasy that was in the churches.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't take long, does it? So Pharisees and Sadducees divided. And verse number 8, what is the theology of the Pharisees and versus the Sadducees? How is the division here?
Well, Sadducees say there's no resurrection.
All right.
Which is why they're sad, you see.
Yes, that's why they're sad, you see. Okay, that's right. What else do they say there's nothing? What else do they deny?
It's a public joke.
Angels.
Angels. And what else do they deny?
I think.
neither angel nor spirit.
Nor spirit.
In other words, there's no hope at all.
Yes. What would they say spirit was?
Oh, I don't know what they say it was, but they
Well, what would spirit be? How would we define it?
Enthusiasm.
Well, that's one way. Dr. Strauss defines that in 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one spirit are all baptized into one body. He said enthusiastic, rather than the Holy Spirit, baptism, just enthusiasm. Anyhow, but what else? Spirit is, what part of our body is spirit?
It's not part of your body.
It isn't?
It's not.
Well, put part of our personality, all right? What is part of our personality, if you don't?
Material.
It's a non-material part, that's right. So they didn't even believe there's a spirit. So they just thought, just body, that's it. That's all they got, something you can see. And angels.
So they didn't believe in fallen angels either. Then.
Not fallen angels either, that's right. So
they didn't have any theology at all.
Very little, very little.
Because they didn't believe in Lucifer or Satan.
Right.
Who was a fallen angel.
Yes.
Who is a fallen angel.
Exactly. And
that's interesting. So like Martha, and I mean, she would have been taught more of a Pharisaical, I mean, from that type of doctrine.
Yeah. She believed in the resurrection.
Yes, she did.
She believed in the resurrection.
That's right. And what did the Lord Jesus tell?
I am the resurrection of life.
He that believeth in me,
believe
that, yet shall live. And whosoever liveth in me shall never die. What does that leave all this now? In what sense does it mean shall never die?
Eternally.
Is it physical death or spiritual death?
Spiritual.
Spiritual death. Never die. And death is a separation of spirit and soul from the body. That's physical death. But eternal death, separation of spirit, soul, and body from God for eternity, will never be separated from Him. We'll go right home to be with the Lord in heaven. So these Sadducees had it all wrong. But what about the Pharisees? What did they believe in regard to these three items? Resurrection, angels, and spirit.
They believed in all.
All three of them. All three of them. Probably a whole lot of other things as well.
Why does it say both? Convince both.
Well, it should have been Trice, should have been a trio.
Unless angel or spirit is like somehow
related. Maybe it's related. So,
I never thought of it.
What it might have been better to say all or everything, whatever. But anyway.
The King James didn't have it. This was an error in the King James, was it?
No. I think it's just both as well.
It wasn't an error in the autograph.
I think it's all right.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, verse 8. Verse 8.
The last verse.
Well, we're just going to keep on
verse 9.
We'll just keep on ready for verse 9.
Yeah. Now, we read verse 9, did we not? Or not?
Maybe,
not yet. I'll read 9, 10, and 11, please. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were the Pharisees' part rose and strove, saying, "We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." And when there rose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down, to take him by force from among them, and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." All right, verse 9. What happened when the discussion came to verse number 9? What did the multitude do?
Great cry.
Were they crybabies?
Yes.
It was just an outburst.
Outburst. I'm just saying outburst. A great outburst, a great cry. Yelling and screaming and shouting, that's right. And the scribes that were of the Pharisees, what did they do? The Pharisee part of the scribes. What does it mean, and strove? What does strove mean?
They start fighting.
What again? They
start arguing.
First, their previous statements.
And what was their discussion or their statement regarding Paul? Innocent or guilty?
Now they think he's innocent.
Innocent.
No evil in this man.
See?
It sounds like what Paul's teacher said once, that they shouldn't, you know, give them a hard time or strive against them.
Uh-huh.
Because
could be of the Lord's. That's right. So we find no evil. Now then, notice what two parts they used in verse number 9 that the Sadducees denied. What two parts?
Spirit or an angel.
Spirit or an angel spoken. What does that mean? What did the Pharisees say when they That included those two things. What are they saying to the Sadducee friends?
Oh, that's an interesting God. Would the spirit be a evil spirit and an angel be a... I mean, is that what's referenced in verse 8? I'm sorry, we were having that discussion about both.
Yes. Well, you see, by the very fact that the Sadducees, or the Pharisees rather, said perhaps a spirit or an angel spoke to him, what do you think the Sadducees felt when they said that statement?
They disagree.
Why would they disagree?
Because they don't believe in
angels. They don't believe in either. See, the very two things that they didn't believe in, the Pharisees, that maybe the angel of the Spirit spoke to them, see. And then what was the conclusion at the end of verse number 9?
You can't fight against God.
That's what happened earlier. Was it Joseph of Arimathea? Some of the Sadducees said that we shouldn't fight against the Lord.
That was Gamaliel.
Gamaliel, was it?
Gamaliel. Back in chapter 5.
Yeah. Gamaliel.
Yeah, we can't fight against God.
False teacher.
And he said that this one arose as a false teacher and follow him, and this one arose, follow them. If it's of God, we can't fight against them.
And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God.
Very good. So the same thing happened here, didn't it?
Verse 38,
39. 38, 39. Thank you.
39 of chapter
5. Chapter 5, verse 38 and 39. All right, we read 10, did we?
Yes.
So now what else was here? What other great thing happened in verse 10?
There was such a dissension that the soldiers got wind of it and they came and rescued Paul.
All right. How much dissension was there?
A lot.
Great dissension.
Every time, when the civil rulers, when the Jews got into a discussion and got argued, mm-hmm. they could really argue.
What was great in verse 9?
Cry.
Great cry. And in verse 10?
Great dissension. They were pulling
Paul
in different directions, I guess.
Yes. So in verse 10, what did the chief captain do and why?
Brought the soldiers down.
Okay. Why did he bring him back?
To take Paul.
What was his thought? What
he
was his
peace?
He wanted to protect him.
All right. What was he afraid of?
He was a Roman.
That he could kill.
They could kill, pull him apart. Which group would have pulled him apart?
Both of them.
The Sadducees.
Well, with the Pharisees?
They were probably pulling him in different directions and they were fighting, clawing on each other.
Okay.
Maybe the Pharisees wanted to protect him, so they were pulling him.
It could be.
And the Sadducees were pulling him in.
It could be. Pulling him in pieces.
That was a big problem that the Israelites, the Jewish people, had. When they got into a discussion and the argument, the people just were uncontrolled.
Uncontrolled.
And that's what the soldiers were worried about.
Worried about that.
If this got back to Caesar,
yes.
and he heard about it, why they'd get killed or lose their job.
They lose their job. Anna?
It wasn't this typical mob behavior.
Yes, typical mob behavior, absolutely. So what did the chief captain command his soldiers to do? Oh, excuse me, Tammy.
Well, from the previous chapter it said, in verse 29, that when the chief captain found out that he was a Roman, it says the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. So he was concerned for his safety.
Right.
That's why he went in and rescued him.
Yes.
He didn't want anything to happen to him.
A Roman citizen. It was his duty to protect Roman citizens, wasn't it? And so what did he do then? Told the soldier to do what?
Rescue.
Go down.
Him into the castle.
What does it mean, take him by force? How do you suppose that's in
I
there?
I guess if they had guns, they would.
What could be?
But they had swords.
They were.
Whatever they had.
People that were there and holding on to Paul, if they needed to, they would punch them in the nose.
Yes. So they had a battle there. They had to pull Paul from these people trying to pull against him. So by force. So sometimes you have to do things by force. And then they took the guy force and go down. And where's going to bring him? Where's God to bring you?
To the
castle. Castle. So protection. All right, we're going to stop right here, but Lord willing, next Thursday we'll continue with this. Any other comments or questions? Yeah, Tammy.
That reminds me of that verse, so maybe you can help remind me where it is, where it says, "And some rescue, pulling them even out of the fire."
Is it
Jude? No, it's not Jude.
Yeah.
Is it? Save by pulling them even out of the fire.
Out of the fire.
It's talking about hell there.
Oh yeah, it is 23. And others say with fear, mm-hmm. pulling them out of the fire, even hating the garment spotted by the flesh.
Yes.
So it's like taking them by force.
Yeah, by force, absolutely. All right. Any other comments or questions before we close?
This wasn't the only time that they rescued Paul.
No, that's right.
When the people got uncontrolled.
Yes, that's right. So we're glad that the Lord protected Paul. And I'm glad that they used the Roman government to do that on occasion. But, of course, the Roman government that actually killed him and chopped off his head one day, but he was rescued at least for now. All right, Brother Dave, would you close the word of prayer, if you would, please, sir?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again that we have the Word of God and that it is true and that it is for us and that we will be forever with Thee in heaven.
Yes.
And we thank Thee that we have this wonderful, wonderful hope of salvation and forever and ever in heaven.
Yes.
And that You, we will see You. And we know that this is true. And we believe the Word of God. And I pray that You would guide us and direct us in our life, that we may be able to serve You acceptably, just like Paul did. Back there in the book of Acts. And I pray that You would guide us and direct us in our lives, Lord, that we will follow Thee faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank You for coming.